This evening we come to the second message, the original condition of the church, the degradation of the church, and the recovery of the church. Amen. We saw this morning, in message one, we were talking about the eternal desire of God. He has an eternal intention. And his desire is to have a corporate expression, amen, which is the church. The church is really the unique goal of God, the ultimate goal of God. This is really the burden of this message. The burden is that we see that the goal of God is the church. We've heard a lot about the church already, but it's good to have a fresh vision, a renewed vision, a deeper vision of the church. So, we can now come to message two, the original condition of the church, the degradation of the church, and the recovery of the church. We need to see, as we saw this morning, he had an eternal purpose concerning the church. But, although the Lord had that intention, that the Lord manifested that intention, that goal, in the book of Ephesians. This desire is carried out in through Christ, but Christ, Satan has come in to corrupt. So we will see the degradation of the church and the recovery of the church. So we are at the point of the recovery of the church, which is to go back, to return to the original condition of the church. So what is the recovery? What does it mean to recover in this case? The recovery is that we return, we go back to what was in the beginning. The Lord produced the church. But the enemy came in to corrupt, to degrade, and so the recovery is going back to what the Lord was doing in the beginning. This is what we're saying when we say we need to go back to the original condition of his purpose, back to his ultimate intention, which is concerning the church. Amen. So we see that to recover is to go back to the beginning. To go back to the beginning, we need to receive the grace to go back to his original intention. So when we talk about the recovery, it's not something new. It's not something... Even in the Old Testament, we see a type of the recovery with the people of Israel. The people of Israel were called out by God. They were called out into Canaan. Right. This was their destination, Canaan. But because of degradation, they ended up in captivity. So the Lord came in to bring them back, to bring them back to his original intention. So now the Lord wants to build his church, but that has become degraded. And so we need to return to the original condition. For the Lord to accomplish his eternal purpose, for him to gain what he has wanted since the beginning. So we really need to be illuminated concerning this point. We need to be governed by this vision. Governed by this vision. So the Lord could gain his church. Amen. So how how does the enemy try to frustrate the Lord's working out of his intention? The enemy has done various things. And so, okay, the Lord gave a parable of the seed, the sower, right? And so he sows, and the enemy comes in and tries to destroy what the Lord has done.
The degradation from the beginning.
Right. So this is the degradation from the beginning. All right. So from the beginning, the enemy has come in to try and corrupt the church. And the enemy frustrates the eternal economy of God in many ways. And this is why we need to go back to be recovered from this degradation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord always accomplishes what he wants. Because in Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That means that there's a battle. There's a battle. This means that the gates of Hades will try. They will attempt to prevail, but they will not prevail. The recovery is that we need to be one with the Lord for what he wants to do.
Either the enemy or the Lord.
Right. So we're either with the Lord or with the enemy. Amen. We want to be his corporate expression. We see that the Lord is faithful. He always gains what he desires. I would like to read some verses. Ephesians 3:10-11. In order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's the church. Now we need to see, what is the original condition of the church in the beginning? That is the question we need to ask. When we talk about the recovery, we're talking about the church that was there in the beginning, then has degraded, and now we need to go back. How can we go back to what was at the beginning? So Brother Aaron will continue that. But the Lord really needs to open our eyes till we see even more, so that we may be freed from all of our concepts. We need to have a poor spirit. We need to come to the Lord anew so that he could gain what he wants to. He really wants to recover.
Luke 15, the prodigal son.
Oh, the prodigal son in Luke 15, right. He left and he came back. Yeah. Return to the Lord as it was in the beginning. This should be our burden. Amen. Amen. Okay. Just to repeat some points from our brother this morning and our brother this evening. Everything we're doing is for the church. His eternal purpose is the church. Amen. So what are we doing today? What are we doing in our church life? Everything needs to go back to His eternal purpose, which is the church. The church was the desire of His heart since eternity past. And for us, we need to be aligned with this eternal purpose, which is the church. Amen. Now our brother just shared that God has an enemy. And everything the enemy wants to do is to distract us from this plan, from this focus, which is the church. So, as we have seen, God wants to recover that which was lost. Satan, throughout history, has always distracted three things, distracted us in three things. Mm-hmm. These three things are still going on today. These things that distract us continue to this day. So what are these three points? I'm going to write them down. Amen. Religion. Jewish religion. And you will read about this in the excerpts. These three things are very serious. Secondly, philosophy or doctrine. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, hierarchy. Firstly, with the Jewish religion, the degradation is not something new. In fact, the work of Satan had even started in the beginning, in Genesis. But we're talking about the New Testament. The Jewish religion, as we see in Galatians, there were people that wanted to go back to the law of Moses and practice that. They were Judaizers. And they replace Christ. The philosophy we see in 1 John, the Apostle John spoke of the Antichrists, the Gnostics. He wanted to convince the people that Christ was not God. So they debated concerning Christ, the person of Christ, right? In Revelation, we see the work of the Nicolaitans. Nico means against. And laity means the lower, those who are below. Yeah. So the eternal economy of God is that every member of the body of Christ is a member. Every member is equal. Mm-hmm. And even in the history of the church, there has been
Ignatius.
There has been, okay, not sure. There's a Greek word episkopos, which can be translated as. Sorry, saints.
Evêque, like a bishop.
Okay, and this has caused a lot of confusion, and this has caused hierarchy to come into the church.
Evêque is cardinal. Evêque means cardinal.
Oh, cardinal. Okay. Uh huh.
Bishop, archbishop.
The bishop, the archbishops. Yeah. Okay. So throughout the history of the church, we see that Satan has distracted us with these three things: Jewish religion, philosophies and doctrines, and the hierarchy. So we need to be conscious of the enemy's strategy to distract the goal, which is the church. The church, the built-up church. And the church cannot be built, divided, because the church is the body of Christ. Amen. But throughout history, everything that the enemy has tried to do is divide, to frustrate his eternal plan, God's eternal plan. So today, what should we do? We need to be recovered. Amen. Be recovered to the original intention of God. We need to be recovered from all these things. You could say today, I don't really know about the Jewish religion, but we still have an influence of the Jewish religion. You see the big buildings, the big Christian buildings, which are marvelous, they're huge, they're grand. Mm-hmm. And for the Jewish religion, the building means a lot. So, but that influenced the church. So, influenced it in such a way that people think that we need to go into a building now to worship God. We still have this concept. That comes from the Jewish religion. The philosophy and the doctrine and the hierarchy, here's where my main burden is. Satan really frustrates us regarding these things. Maybe you'll say, I don't have a lot of philosophy, but actually philosophy is in us. If we hang on to those things, this causes problems. And this can cause division. For example, just an example, our brother James. Maybe he believes that we need to speak in tongues. It's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. We need to practice speaking in tongues. And he insists on it. In the church, we need to speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you have not received the Spirit. Or Brother Anderson insists, baptism by immersion. If you're not baptized in water, you're not really baptized. And so, I'm going to meet with the ones that believe what I believe. And we're not going to have fellowship with these other ones. This has happened in the history of Christianity. There's division because of philosophies, because of doctrines. You could say, well, those things are in years past. But you know what? Even today, mainly with the young people, there's young people here today, Satan continues to confuse us, to put us in confusion regarding modern things. For example, the homosexuality. That's not modern, that was in the Bible. Satan uses that one point enormously to distract. How can you be against people like that? Don't you have love? Even in schools, they teach and they say you're a homophobe. If you are against homosexuals, you are a homophobe. But these things are in the Bible and it's clear. We're just going back simply to what the Bible says. So we need to recover many things. Amen. What else of these modern subjects? The feminism is very strong today, mainly in North America, but also in the whole world. equality. We are for equality. But if you read the Bible, is there equality? Equality? No. Are you against the word of God? No. Satan is very
smart
because he has put many questions. He has inserted many subtle questions into our being. But we need to come back to the word of God. The word is very clear. If we come back to the Bible, if we simply come back to the word of God, we will be saved from many problems and from confusion in the church. Amen. Maybe in us, in the church life, we're not very sensitive to these things. But yes, there are many things in the church that can divide us. For example, the question of the question of languages, speaking different languages, English, French, Chinese. Even this problem of language was in Acts. In Acts chapter 6, there was the Hebrews and
the Hellenists.
Yeah. They spoke Hebrew and the Hellenists spoke Greek. And even during that time, there was a problem with languages. So there's a risk that even today in the church life, we may have divisions by language, because of language. Our example, maybe Alan. Maybe you have a burden for the French. The French need to be superior to the others in the church. And so I'm going to just begin a meeting with just French, and we're not going to mingle with the other languages. And we do live in a Francophone city, but that now poses a division. Because the body of Christ is one. It cannot be divided. But all these things, all these thoughts of division, philosophy, modern or not, can enter into our thoughts and enter into our church life. So we need to be conscious of the strategy of the enemy who wants to distract us, who wants to divide us, and he does not want God to gain his church. So we need to be recovered from all these things. The hierarchy. Another big point. I'm going to read a few verses which show us that there's not hierarchy in the church. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another.
Four
and five. Amen. And individually members of one of another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, verses 4 and 5. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Amen. There is the operation of each member according to, of each part according to its measure. No, every member. There is an operation in every member for the building up of the body, for the growth of the body. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. What then, brothers, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, let all things be done for building up.
Amen.
So everyone, each one has a function. 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's clear. The word is clear. Each one has a function, and each one is equal. There's no
rank.
Class,
rank.
There's no rank. We have the concept that those who have a higher rank, those who are maybe in a different class, maybe we think Achille or Martin, they're really superior brothers. And I'm just, well, a simple little brother. they can function, they can speak in the meetings, but me, I'll just listen. I'll just listen to the message. I'll go to church one time a week, once per week. And you know, it's for them that, you know, professionals. It's for the professionals. But here we see each one, amen, each one has a function. And when each one of us functions, the church is built up.
Amen.
So, we need to be recovered from all these things. Another point concerning the hierarchy is organization. The church is not an organization. There's no managers, there's no employees. We're just saints here. Amen. In the church, we're just brothers and sisters. And Paul, in the New Testament, he had this thought. Maybe Brian, could you read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Who has their Bible? Okay. Anderson, Ephesians 1, 1. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1, 1. Brian, go ahead. Paul, a called apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God and Sosthenes, the brother, to the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours. Do we have a sense here that Paul was superior? No. Every time he began an epistle, he began with brothers and sisters. He mentioned other brothers. He wrote for the saints. There was no difference in rank. Okay, this brother, can you read Galatians? Quel verset lit-il? Is he reading? Okay, Ephesians 1:1.
Galatians.
Oh, Galatians 1:1. Sorry. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle from... Okay. He said, "With and all the brothers who are with me to the churches in Galatia." Okay, now Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Paul could have said, "I'm an apostle. I'm superior." But no,
wow.
He did not have that sense there.
Amen.
Because he knew that all the brothers are in the same class. They're all equal. They are simply members one of another.
Amen.
So we need to be recovered. We should not have the sense that I'm superior. I direct. I have a superior function. But on the other hand, we should not say, I'm just going to sit like this, let the others function, just let them do what, you know, do the things, because that's their work, it's not mine. No. No, we need to be recovered. We need to see that each one of us has a function. Each one of us is a member of the body who should function and should operate for the building up of the body of Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Everything we're doing should be for the church. And everything that counts is the church.
Amen.
We do a lot of things in the church life, but everything should be for the church. Everything that counts is the church. It's not my work. It's not my thoughts. It's not my philosophy. It's not my opinion. But it's the church.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be in the church and for the church. And there we will be in the eternal purpose of God. Amen.